Hello there, folks. It's Cliff and John again here, back together, the terrible duo, giving you some sports information we hope that may be useful for you, that you can catch up with. And it's good to see John back again, and thank him for coming in today. And I'll kick off with a story about athletics. Well, it's about cycling, really. But I think most of us will remember Dame Laura Kenny, who was the 5 times Olympic champion on the cycling. And she's now been appointed, she's retired from cycling last year, but she stepped into a new role as president of the Commonwealth Games England. And it's a role that she took on. And at the time she took it on, she was 7 months pregnant. So she's still coming to terms with that new role. But hopefully that will be something, all that valuable experience that she's learned in her sport will be carried forward for the younger people following her up.
Hi, folks. It's John here again with your local sport. Apologies for not being with you for a bit, but I've been on holiday and had work done on the house. And as the new season comes ever closer, we start with Stoke City. And I apologies if some of this is a bit old. And we start with the departures, with old boy Sam Vokes going to Gillingham, Niall Ennis has gone to Blackpool, and Nathan Lowe is rumoured to be going to Stockport County. This may now have been approved. The other players leaving are Jordan Thompson, Michael Rose, Lyndon Gooch has gone to Norwich, are interested in Liam Manning. That's a shock. This might have been also agreed. The future of Manhoof. This is a player, he's up and down, clubs are after him, and he's been turned down. It's still in the balance at the moment. All the players have gone, and this was a shock to me. Are Sol Sidibe going to PSV Eindhoven? I didn't think the club would be getting rid of him. He's a good player, and you know, but obviously he wants to leave. And just waiting to sign a contract, sign his contract. And another shock is Berger going to TSG Hoffenheim. So far, Stoke have only signed 4 players. Sorba Thompson from Huddersfield, Divin Mumbambas from Man City, Marcus Talalova, and I'm sorry for the pronunciation, from Plymouth, and Aaron Craswell. But with rumours of other signings coming up, Stoke started with their friendlies at Shrewsbury losing 1-0, then losing to Brighton 3-1. They then played Crewe on Wednesday night, then at home to Wolves and then at home to Burnley. Stoke's first game of the season is at home to Derby, and this could become a grudge match from the last game of the season.
Thanks, John. And just a couple of quick stories from me. Ben Healy back to cycling again at the moment. Ben Healy, who's one of the star British cyclists at the moment, was denied victory on Mont Vento by a bike's length as Valentin Paré-Pentry delivered a first home stage win of this year's Tour de France. And last night, that's Tuesday, the 22nd, the English women lost to the Indian tourists, unfortunately. Kaur leads England to a series victory with a century as the headline in the Eye today. Captain Harmanpreet Kaur smashed a century as India claimed a 13-run victory over England to win the one-day international series at Chesterless Street. Kaur blasted a brilliant 102 off 84 balls, ably supported by Jemima Rodriguez, who knocked 50, and the pair put on 110 together. The visitors set a lofty target of 319, and England lost Tammy Beaumont and Amy Jones in the first 3 overs. Natskiver Brunt hit 98, and Emma Lamb led the recovery, and they put on a 162-run partnership, but England lost 4 wickets in the final 5 overs. And Karanti Gowd claimed 6 wickets as India won the 50-over series 2-1.
Thanks, Cliff. We now come to Port Vale, who have been very active so far in the transfer market, signing Jordan Gabriel, Rico Richards, Liam Gordon, Jordan Shipley, Cameron Humphreys, Marco Marossi, and Ben Wayne, and also Callum Evans. Their departures include Dan Jones, Jason Lowe, Ethan Chislett, Nathan Smith. Vale's friendly started with a 0-0 draw at Newcastle Town and a 7-0 win at Kidsgrove and a 5-1 win at Bath. They then play Birmingham and then Altrincham, with Vale's first game at Rotherham and then Cardiff City.
Right, thanks, John. And just continuing with the cricket, the gents' cricket this time. Of course, today we start the fourth test against India at Old Trafford. And the Indian captain has turned his fire on England for the time-wasting that the English players carried out at Lord's in the last game. India captain Shubman Gill laid bare his simmering resentment about England's gamesmanship during the third test when accusing Ben Stokes' team of disrespecting the spirit of the game. England head into the fourth test today, which 2-1 up with two to play, following their 22-run win during an absorbing and ill-tempered match at Lord's last week. Did bring a bit of spirit back, though. India tempers flared when time-wasting tactics at the start of the second innings ensured that Zach Crawley and Ben Duckett faced just one over before the close of play on the third evening. The flashpoint sparked England into a more confrontational approach over the final 2 days, with both captains saying the needle was good for the game. But there now looks certain to be an escalation in hostilities in Manchester after Gill's inflammatory words made it clear that India were far from willing to move on. A lot of people have been talking about it, so let me just clear the air once and for all, Gill said. The English batsmen on that day had 7 minutes of play left. They were 90 seconds late to come to the crease, not 10, not 20, but 90 seconds, and that meant we lost the last over. Even if we were in that position, we would have liked to play less overs, but there's a manner to do it. To be able to come 90 seconds late to the crease is not something that comes in the spirit of the game. I wouldn't say it's something India, it's something I'm very proud of, but it didn't come out of nowhere. We have had no intention of doing that whatsoever. But you're playing to win, and there are a lot of emotions. And when you see there are things happening that should not happen, sometimes the emotions come out of nowhere. So we look forward to the start of that fourth test later today.
Thanks very much, Cliff. And now we come to Crewe, who have been very active in the market so far, signing Josh Marsh from Harrogate, fullback Rhys Huttington from Sligo Rovers, and midfielder Tommy O'Reilly from Aston Villa. They have released defenders Ryan Cooney, Zumana Bakkerhoff, sorry for the pronunciation, and striker Kane Hemmings, Chris Long and Chris Dagnall, and midfielder Danny Udo. Additional loan players Jamie Sterry, Paul Green and Harry McKinney are all returning to their parent clubs. Crewe's friendly start with a 6-0 win over Kidsgrove, a 7-1 win over Newcastle Town, and a 5-0 win at Ashton United. A 5-1 win at Ratcliffe and a 4-0 win at Birmingham, with Crewe's next game at home to Stoke on Wednesday night, and then Southport FC. Their first games are away to Salford City, then at home to Accrington Stanley. And just a footnote, I hope that Crewe do better than last season and get promoted.
Thanks, John. And a quick report on the rugby union now. As your rugby fans will know, the British and Irish Lions are over in Australia at the moment and are heading for the first test match on Saturday at the Melbourne Cricket Ground. and they came through their toughest examination of their non-test matches on a tour with a 24-19 win over a First Nations 15. And afterwards, we had the novel sight of joint Andy and Owen Farrell, father and son, Lions head coach and captain for the night, press conferences. But the more pressing matter was which players, including the 33-year-old Farrell Jr., might be seen again across town at the MCG on Saturday. So we look forward to that, and it should be a thrilling series. But all the bookies, if you believe the bookies, they are saying that England, that the British Lions should win that series 3-0. But we'll wait and see. Sport's a tricky subject to forecast, isn't it?
Thanks, Clef. And just before I go, let's hope the England ladies team do well in the semi-finals. And yes, they won. They 2-1 with England behind after 33 minutes. And then England scoring in the 96th minute with the young girl, Agimang, and Kelly scoring in 119 minutes. This then puts them into the semi-final with Germany playing Spain or tonight, or whoever wins that game. I do hope it's Germany we play and not Spain.
Yeah, we're old timers, John, aren't we?
Yes.
we remember the 66 World Cup, yes, with Germany, and the long history we have of sporting opposition,
oh,
with,
yes,
with the German nation.
Yes.
It's a very interesting time, and hopefully, as you say, I think that should make for a cracking final if we do get Germany there.
I hope so. I really, really do.
Yeah.
I should be glued to the tally watching that anyway.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
And just to finish for myself on a football note, the Premier League is ever spending millions and millions on players. There's been all sorts of trade transfers so far. And the biggest one that landed yesterday was Brian Mumbueno, who's been transferred from Brentford under Brentford club, where he scored 20 Premier League goals last season. And he's gone to the club he's always wanted to play for, which is Manchester United. And I think that'll be a long-awaited injection into Manchester United staff, because they missed a forward to score goals last season, and I think they had their worst ever season in the Premier League and finished about 16th or 15th, I think, in the league, which is very, very poor for them. However, it's taken 7 weeks and some tense talks between the clubs for the 25-year-old Mbueno to finally complete his move from Brentford for £65 million fee, plus a potential £6 million in add-ons. And when they say add-ons, they mean bonuses, they mean performance bonuses, they mean their loyalty contract, that sort of thing. But it really is, talk about millionaire's money now, mm-hmm, for the Premier League. It's out, almost out of hand, but that's the way it's going. So again, we look forward, both of us, John, to the football season starting very shortly, don't,
yes,
we?
Yes, and just before I go, there's a lot of speculation on Google, if you look at the moment, about who's coming, who's going, and this and that, the other. And I just picked this up last night, and I just heard that Stoke had signed Robert Bosinic on a contract until June 28th. And I believe he's a really good player, and if it is true, then he could be a good asset to the club, like, you know.
Excellent.
But there's, same as I say, at the moment, there's a lot of controversy, who's going, who's coming, and this and that, the other. Players have been contacted, and things have been kept under close wraps at the moment with Stoke, Vale and crew. And hopefully, with the next recording, that we might have some news of who has actually come and gone a bit more. But anyway, Cliff, that's all from me. Thanks for listening. Stay safe and well. And if you want anything that we have not covered, please get in touch.
Thanks very much, John. And yeah, it's goodbye from him and it's goodbye from me. Just to say, similar to John's sentiments there, please stay safe and well. Thank you for your time for listening. And the only problem is, John, for some of these teams now, they're signing these players so late in the day that it's hard to get them to gel into the new teams and the new spirit, isn't it?
Well,
so it takes a few games to settle down.
This is the trouble, you see. We, it's only, I think it's the 3rd of August, the first match, and it's speculation, who's coming, who's going, and this, yeah. But there's quite a lot of players that I'm very surprised that Stoke have got rid of at the moment.
Smashing. Okay, John, thanks very much. And again, thank you, everybody. And we look forward to coming back to you with some more updated sports reports in the next couple of weeks.